Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
Hello there. If you were with us last week, you know that we're interviewing Sarah Hill, who happens to be one of my favorite people. And I had the privilege of having her as one of my Bible college students years ago. And she had come to me with a, a word from the Lord that was like a commission to go to Kauai. And I remember being so excited, and I just knew it was God. I just knew it was. But we talked during the first part about how God had prepared Sarah for this new venture, partly by trauma and a hard upbringing. Because, I don't know if we mentioned this, that part of the vision was you wanted to work with youth. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you told us in part one that you saw these youth out before you when they were dying because you didn't go. But I remember you felt specifically called to youth, to your peers and younger, which is really exciting. But I mean, you're starting from the ground up. You go to Kauai. Now you're there. We're going to start with you there. You've had this wonderful adventure with lots of friends, but now you're alone, right? Mm-hmm. And you want to start this ministry. What did you do?
Well, it really started with getting the call that my car had come in and it was at the barge. So I had to go pick up my car, and I went down there. And I had been on Kauai for a few days without a car, kind of just setting up house, so to speak. And I'll tell you, if anyone ever tells you Hawaii is not a mission field, until you see the spiders and cockroaches there, I was like, this is really a mission field.
Let's talk about the centipedes.
Oh, yeah. So I got the call, and I got a ride down to pick up my car, and I'm driving back to the North Shore, and I'm just in conversation with the Lord, and I'm like, okay, God, like, what am I, like, what's this going to look like? You know, what?
I'm here.
What do you want me to do? And so as I approached the North Shore, there was these four boys hitchhiking with boogie boards on the side of the road, something you could never do in California or anywhere else. But in Hawaii, you can pick up four kids with boogie boards and give them a ride to the beach. And so I was like, all right, Lord, I guess this is where it starts. And so I picked these four boys up, and they wanted to head to this beach where they could go boogie boarding. And so I took them, and I sat and I just watched them. And I know that sounds so weird, and it is, but it's but it was like I was just intrigued with their tricks on the boogie boards. And you know, and I thought, well, I gave them a ride here. I have to be responsible and take them back home after, because it was like a pretty good, I mean, at least a 30-minute drive to the beach they wanted to go to.
Well, but also, not so unusual, you were a surfer.
Yes.
You told us in the first episode that you had broken your back and your neck mm-hmm. in a surfing accident mm-hmm. in Oceanside, California. Mm-hmm. So to be back at the beach, it's just the way the Lord does these full circles.
I love it.
Of course, it felt comfortable to see what they were doing.
Right. And I just, so when they got done, I gave them all rides home, and I just said, hey, I'm here to, you know, work with the youth, hang out with kids. And like, you know, I always
laugh. And they're looking at you like, you're a kid. You're 19. You're going to hang out with other kids.
Like, if you guys get bored and want to hang out, here's my phone number. Give me a call. Well, I mean, what kid in Hawaii who got a free ride to the beach isn't going to call you the next day in the summertime? So I got a call from these boys, and it really turned into me trekking them along all over Kauai. But really, it was God's way of initiating me into the island in such a special way. And so I just loved these boys where they were at. I actually didn't try to share the gospel with them. I just tried to model it. And for about 2 weeks, every single day, we were hanging out. And so they began asking me questions about why I was there and wanting to get to know me. And I began sharing my story and sharing about Christ and how I felt the Lord had really called me there. And so they began becoming really like intrigued and asking me more and more. And within the first month, all four of these boys asked Jesus into their heart. And it was like, well, junior hires. So
yes.
You know, like it was such a transformation that they wanted to start bringing all their friends. Mm. And so within, you know, the first month and a half, I had 13 kids hanging out. And again, not to brag, but you can only do this in Hawaii. I had a 5-seater hatchback that I had shipped over there, and it became like a church 15-passenger van. I don't know how we fit them all in there, but we did. And God just began doing such a move through just picking up these kids.
Mm-hmm. Now, you started kind of discipling them, too. So where did the discipleship come from? I mean, again, 19-year-old girl mm-hmm. leading these kids to the Lord and then starting up discipleship. Because I think either we were writing, somehow I got the message that you knew that they needed to be discipled, not just saved.
Yeah. So word started getting out about this Howley girl from the mainland that's coming here to work with the kids. And all these kids are actually hanging out with her and like her.
And you so, truly are blonde, beach girl. Look.
Wear makeup.
Yes.
You know, like you are, they call it J-O-J just off the jet.
Yep.
I was
yep.
definitely J-O-J.
Yep.
And so churches began hearing that I was there working with youth, and specifically when I had first gone that summer, there was a pastor, his name's Steve Thompson, who really was a great mentor to me in that time, opened the door to just support these Bible college students doing ministry. And when I came back, he was like, you have a place here to do ministry, you know, kind of a hub. And it was on the North Shore. And so the church began allowing me to have meetings with the kids there. And I was not on staff or anything with the church, which is a whole nother thing. That was probably the happiest I've ever been serving the Lord is without a paycheck because you're just doing it out of your heart.
Yes.
Obviously,
yes.
There, you need that support and that provides a way to continue to do it. But they provided a facility and they began giving some donations towards food because you got to feed all these kids. You know, if you want them to come, you got to feed them. And so I just began doing Bible studies and discipling the kids, really going deeper. It wasn't a huge group. Like I said, it was about 13, maybe 15 kids at the beginning. But God began to just do like really a supernatural work where kids continued to tell their friends about it and continued to invite other friends. And it was just this mecca. And at the same time, God was doing a lot in my heart, too, because I had to face still a lot of the demons of my past that I had never dealt with, like the abuse. I had a lot of surgeries, and so I had a lot of scars on my body. And like, I'm trying to speak life into young women's lives, but ultimately, in my head every day, I'm fighting battles like, you're not worthy, you're not beautiful,
wow.
you have these scars.
Wow.
And so God was really like using the kids to challenge me to go deeper in my faith and my walk. One instance in particular, I was telling this girl about her value and her worth. And I went home and I felt like a liar because I just knew how much I struggled with my value and my worth. And I remember just praying, saying, God, like, I need you to help me through this. Like, this is a really hard, I see my scars every day and I can't cover them quick enough. And I remember God just, in a still small voice in that moment, just saying, Sarah, like, do you not love my son because of his scars? And I just was crushed because I was like, whoa, like, when I think of Jesus, I don't think of his scars. I think of like all, like the great things that he's provided, the access to heaven through death on the cross. But if I were to think about his scars, God, like they would only make me love him more because those scars were for me. And God just said, you know, Sarah, like that's how your husband will view you, as he will love you with that pure love and that surpasses your scars. And it was like such a freedom. And so I made a talk called Beautifully Flawed. And I gave this talk to a bunch of young girls in my youth group. And actually, one of the girls was Bethany Hamilton, who about a year later would lose her arm to a shark attack. And just talking about just the freedom you have when you can see yourself through God's perspective. Did that heal it overnight? No. I think really we struggle with it. It's like, do we choose to surrender or do we hold on to our wounds? And so it is, even to this day, just one of those things that I have to surrender. But it was really cool to see God using discipling kids to disciple me. You know, it was like God was using that to do a lot of work in my life. And I've always tried to be really transparent with the kids. Like, I, even on social media, like, I like to use that as a platform for transparency. Like, when I need prayer, you're going to know it, and I'm going to share, because I don't want people to ever get the concept that if you're in ministry or you're a leader, that your life is perfect, because it's not. You know,
it's like, not. You know, I remember being in the car one time and God saying, I hate idols and I hate images. It was so strong. And I was like, yes, of course you do. And he goes, no, I hate it when you try to be an idol or an image. Wow. Rather than who you really are.
Yeah.
And, you know, be authentic.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow. Okay, you know, Lord, I didn't realize I was. And I have found that that's so true. And that's a problem when we try. And especially when you're with youth, they call you out.
Yeah, they see it all.
They're not going to let you get by with any fakery at all. Yes. It's like, you know, I remember being in England, you know, our first Sunday going to church, this new church that we just started. And our clothes hadn't arrived in time, but this friend had given me all these clothes from Nordstrom's before we left. And, you know, I was a mom. We didn't have that kind of money.
Right.
And all these really nice clothes. And so that was all I had to be warm. So I put them on. And I remember Char going, you know, who are you trying to be? What are you trying to look like? What's this thing you're doing right here? And I'm like, look, I'm in borrowed clothes on a brand new adventure. Please be gracious and leave me alone, you know?
They're trying to stay warm.
Yes, yes. But, you know, they'll call you out.
Yeah.
They really, I teach Sunday school. I said to this one little girl, Olivia, I was trying to get her to say the word white. And I said, what color are my teeth? And she's like, kind of yellow. And I'm like, okay, never mind, you know? But they do. They call you out. But I love that the Lord's teaching you authenticity. And let's go back to this, you know, beautifully flawed. Mm-hmm. What a tremendous lifelong message. I mean, it's not just for a 19-year-old. Mm-hmm. It's for every woman at every age to say, no, where I'm at and these scars are beautiful to God. Mm-hmm. But how incredibly profound to say it to a girl who will lose her arm.
Well, and how it must have affected her, because Bethany still has the beautifully flawed theme in her ministry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it's like amazing how God, I remember hearing someone say, like, God will always painstakingly prepare you for the things ahead.
Right.
And I feel like he has always
emphasis
done that
on
in my
pains.
Life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you hadn't felt that, how could you prepare anybody?
Yes.
And what the amazing thing was is a couple weeks after writing this talk, I was given an opportunity to speak it to a bunch of women on Kauai. And like, I remember, like, I had never spoken publicly about my scars outside of this small group of teenage girls. And I really felt like God just challenged me to speak boldly about that. And I gave this message. And I remember my voice was quivering. I had sweat bubbles on my nose. I was just so nervous to tell people, I have all these scars you can't see with my clothes on my body. And I did it, and God just moved, and there was like women crying. I stayed to be available to talk, and I was in a hotel conference room, and the room was lined with women waiting to talk to me about, like,
wow,
I've cut myself. I have these scars. I have these scars that I carry. And our scars look different. They don't always look the same. But it gave such freedom for women to come face to face with their scars. And it's like, you know, in a culture where we often are competing with each other, or, you know, on social media, you see glimpses of somebody's life to say, no, like, I'm not perfect. Like, this is me.
Yeah, no. My house doesn't look like that.
right. And how the Lord has used that over the years, you know?
Yeah. You know, my one granddaughter, she's now a teenager. No, she's 11, but she looks like a teenager. She had heart surgery when she was 3 days old, and she's got this beautiful scar on her chest. And I was teaching the 5-year-old Sunday school class at the church, and I saw this little girl. And when her mom came, I said, oh, your daughter's scar is so beautiful. And she started crying because the mother had felt like the little girl had been marred.
Mm.
And I said, no, it's absolutely beautiful. And she was also afraid that, you know, would God sustain the life of her daughter? There's a lot of fears that come with scars.
Yeah.
And so to be able to speak into this mom about the beauty of her daughter's scar, and I recognized it from the scar on my own beautiful granddaughter. And so I think that sometimes we look at our scars one way, but other people are not looking at him the same way. I mean, I don't think there's anything more beautiful than the scar on a chest of someone who's gone through heart surgery. It speaks of victory. Mm-hmm. It speaks of the presence of Christ. And to me, whenever I see it, I think of the faithfulness of God to my son, to my daughter-in-law, mm-hmm. To my little granddaughter. You know, I still remember her hooked up to all the tubes right. and respirators and everything, and just what a miracle her whole life is.
Here's the thing, Cheryl, looking at it is one thing and you feel that deeply, but as Sarah's saying, when you carry the scar, there's something yep. different, and it is yep. a process. I yep. had yep. at 41 years old, I had an emergency surgery. There were a lot of things going on, and I have a 9-inch diagonal scar across my abdomen.
Yeah.
And I had no idea when I finally came out of the 5-6 days yeah. in the ICU hospital situation. I was like, okay, the disease mass is gone from my body, mm-hmm. along with my gallbladder, and the resection on my colon seemed to work. And why don't we just take your appendix as 2-for-1 sale?
You don't want to have a problem, you know? Later in life.
And,
yeah.
And you're good to go. And the shock and the years that it took to sit up straight again, all those things. And I remember my first visit to the doctor for the post-op, and you know, you pull up your shirt and he looks, he goes, well, your bikini days are over. And I'm like,
oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
They never were. Right. Yeah, they're over. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same
but
here.
Just
yeah.
That sense that nobody else can see it, but I know how it feels yeah. sometimes yeah. still. And I really am so aware of others that have those hidden scars, as you're saying. And that it has made me more empathetic in just a unique way. And you have that.
Yeah.
I mean, you have
okay.
it.
Okay, wait.
Double,
I have
triple.
Scars, too. Yeah. I've had, like, 5 surgeries, you know.
That yeah. scar yes. situation, but just that feeling.
But again,
yeah.
you know, it's it has beauty. You know, yes, my brother yes. did a Bible study one time on every scar tells a story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
And the Bible study was amazing, but he said, again, the scars on Jesus' body tell a story of love. Mm-hmm. And so it's beautiful. But I love the fact, beautifully flawed, and the fact that you were able to deliver. I mean, you hit a, what would you want, even with us, you hit a
cord.
Cord.
Yeah.
That's the word I wanted. You hit
a
it.
A nerve.
Yeah,
yeah,
a nerve. Yes.
Scar, there's not much nerves left.
Yeah.
True.
But you did, because I think every yeah. woman deep down feels that. But again, yeah. we're talking about scars that we see.
Yeah.
But there are also the internal scars
yes.
that nobody can see
yeah.
that women are also dealing with. They, you know, like, nobody understands why I'm scared of motorcycles, or nobody understands why I, you know, jump at certain sounds, or, you know, those scars that, you know, don't always show. So, but okay, so now you're speaking to adults and you've spoken to youth and you've connected. So again, you're on this journey of faith, but to realize that the message that the Lord gave you so connected, what happened from that? I mean, what did the Lord show you? Where did you go from there?
Yeah, I mean, I think with that transparency and just God doing the work in my heart and me being open to that, I really saw the floodgates open where God's Spirit was moving and working, and the authenticity with the kids, like, it ignited the youth ministry. And so within a year of being on Kauai, I was leading one of the largest student ministries just by loving kids well, you know, and really having a mission mind behind youth nights. They didn't look like maybe what I grew up with. They looked like, you know, wild and crazy games, but with a gospel message that was themed to the game so kids would remember it. And so God just began doing a huge, huge work on Kauai. And as that work began to come or began to happen, there was a lot of pushback as being a girl in ministry and just some of that spiritual warfare that really
kicks
up.
These are the things that are against you. Your age, your beauty. I'm sorry, but you know it is. It can really hurt
the
come against women.
The scars are the advantage.
Yeah, yeah.
The disadvantage.
The beauty.
Is your
right.
beauty.
And your gender.
Thank you.
So
yes.
these are certain things, you know, and that was one of the reasons we do Women Worth Knowing.
Yes.
And so, I mean, you had to. How did you deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of pastors tell me I had no reason to be doing ministry. I am like, I am probably an oddball as a woman in ministry because I care less about titles. I don't need accolades. I don't need acknowledgments. I just need people that need Jesus. And so, like, I didn't put too much thought in it, but it really started to come against me. Like, there was letters being written about me being sent to pastors in the churches and people really wanting to silence the work. But the reality was there was no guy there ready to do the work. And so, you know, did it affect me to a certain extent? Yes. Like, when I got told, like, there was a letter that had been sent out to all the pastors of the churches about me, you know, of course it affected me. Did it stop me? No. Because again, it was like, God, if this isn't what you want me to do, like, you'll close this door. And that really, when I moved to Kauai, was my prayer. God, when you stop opening doors, I'll know it's time to move in. Now, my time frame was a year. Like, I thought we're going to do a year and then
surprise,
and then God's going to do something else. And that was not God's plan. God's plan was so much greater than that. And so
two and a half decades.
I was there 23 years. Yeah. So, so I just kept my head down and thought, just be faithful. You know, like,
good
one of my
girl.
Favorite
good
verses yeah. in the Bible, which is really my ministry verse, is 1 Corinthians 15:58. You know,
be steadfast,
immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain unto the Lord. It might be in vain to men, but God sees it all. And so it's like, not to us, but to your name, God, this is all for you. Like, I think there's a scripture in Ephesians, it talks about that they would know this is your work, oh God, that you have mm-hmm. done it. It's like, don't touch the glory. Don't touch the work. Just be faithful and mm-hmm. watch what God's mm-hmm. done. So does that make it easier? No. Have I had to struggle through different things? I have. I've had to find hills that are worth dying on and find hills that weren't worth dying on.
Oh, and you're Sarah Hill, so that works.
Right. There you go. And so, really, the Lord has been so faithful to me. And has it been hard? Yeah.
But I think, too, I mean, honestly, you know, I tend to think I'm the only person who suffered rejection in the entire world, you know. And then I'm telling Robin, I don't know, Robin, you know, I've been rejected. She's like, Cheryl, par for the course. And I'm like, what? Not you. You're perfect. You're wonderful, you know. And I think that, again, it's another nerve that you hit when you say rejection to a woman. Because I don't know any woman, unless she's very callous, who hasn't felt that pain. So again, this rejection, and I think only helps us minister, especially to youth who are so afraid of rejection. I mean, think of all the people who won't step out
right.
because of they might be rejected.
Right.
And it's not even they have been rejected. They might be rejected.
Right.
And especially as a woman, well, I don't want to try that. I don't want to live by faith because what if I get rejected by the religious or the status quo? And you're thinking, wow. But I mean, I just think that, again, these battles are preparatory for ministry to youth and especially to young girls.
It's like you have a doctorate in God's school of ministry preparation.
Yes, to others.
Yes.
Yeah.
The childhood pains and the scars and the rejection, it follows a pattern.
Mm, yeah.
Sorry, Sarah, but it does. Mm. But it's, I love, love, love that you don't want to share the glory. Like, this is what God asked me to do. I did it. And his purposes were accomplished, and he gets all the glory. Now, I want to know a little bit about the difficulties when my husband and I were in youth ministry 25 years, and these kids, you love them with all your heart. You see some of them just like going for it, and they love the Lord, and then they fall off the edge. And that kind of broken heart situation in me has yet to fully heal, because I could still cry over some of those lives that really, I just got that picture of you being on the vision God gave you on the stage, and there's kids just dying. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you've experienced that. We do that. We have to come back, Cheryl, for another
episode. Oh, we do. We're going to have to do a part three, because we do want to, you know, one of the things that you said with the hope effect when you start this podcast, which we're really exciting for, and we want to tell our listeners, be alert for the hope effect with Sarah Hill. But one of the things that you want to give to the youth is hope. But you said because there's so many stories and that you know so many stories. And so when we get back, I would love to explore some of those stories of hope and just talk about it. And that will give our listeners kind of a head start or a heads up onto what the hope effect will be about. And they'll want to tune in so much because Robin and I always talk about, I mean, she's a story writer. I love biographies, but we both love and we realize that people love stories. And the Bible, God knowing our frame and how he made us, made the Bible stories after story after story. And even the story of our creation, the story of our fall, and the story of our reclamation by Jesus Christ. So that's, we're so excited not only to hear the rest of your story, but hear some of the stories that God has.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones-Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones-Gunn.